Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As I mentioned earlier, Kenita Hunter is the assistant editor, politics and opinion at News 24. She has covered the ANC, I would say, in the shenanigans almost better, almost in greater detail than anybody else that I know. Kenita, good morning. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Lack of sleep, but good.
Well, I would imagine. Were you shocked when you got this report last night?
Shocked because I mean it was it could have gone just one of two ways. I think what for me was the shocking part was how unprepared and shocked the Ramaphosa administration was as a result of this Section 89 report. They were completely caught off guard. There was a level of silent confidence yesterday and the weeks preceding that former Chief Justice Sandile Ngcobo will not find anything against the president. They believed in his version that he presented. You would know yesterday the president's version was leaked, where he told the panel that all he did was that he reported the matter to Wally Ruda, and Wally Ruda didn't take it up. It was not his problem. That was his defense, and gave a little bit more detail to the panel than he did publicly. You would know that the president had been loath to speak about this matter for 6 months. It's 6 months now. And it's quite fascinating to see what Sandile Ngcobo, the former Chief Justice, you know, said as a result of the president's version. You know, he basically poked holes in it, saying that, you know, some parts of it does not hold any water. For example, the fact that the president just said, you know, he fulfilled his duty by reporting the matter to Wally Ruda. So an absolutely unprecedented time in our country. A president is now up for impeachment and definitely has the potential of not only sending shockwaves, but I think this is an earthquake to our body politics.
In what's confusing me, or maybe the part of it that I'm ambivalent about, and I can see the same reaction from listeners, is that although we all so strongly believe that we have to root out corruption, the problem is that this is a win for an Arthur Fraser, who is the antithesis of that. So it's almost the corrupt are using the very thing that they avoid most to remove a president, enabling them to continue with their wicked ways.
So, I mean, that reality does exist. And I think that's always the risk. In terms of, you know, opportunists will always take up an opportunity. And I think what was interesting about this Ngcobo report is that it went beyond, you know, just the accusations Arthur Fraser made and sort of looked at the evidence presented by UDM, EFF, and then looked at it against the president's version. And so there were questions we were asking the president that the Ngcobo Commission or the Ngcobo panel were dissatisfied with his answers. Like, for example, if a man has given $500,000 for 20 buffalo, why is it for 2 years he had not taken animals? Number one. Number two, you know, if you claimed it's only $580,000, why were the thieves recorded, you know, bragging about $800? You know, so there's legitimate questions that the president just simply did not respond. Why was the matter not investigated? That is just a simple question that was not
dealt with at all.
We had no answers on, and the Ngcobo Commission found that okay, you know, there's a legitimate case here that the president may have violated the Constitution, and so yes, you know, the concern that this crisis can be capitalized by, you know, nefarious individuals with unscrupulous intentions, that always exists. And I think that's definitely going to play out somehow. But again, opportunists take opportunity. And this was the perfect opportunity for them. As I argued in my News 24 column last night, that what this report does, it literally puts Ramaphosa's head on a silver platter for his opponent. And it's almost impossible to think
how he can get out of this.
Survive, yeah.
What's interesting as well is it's almost all of the things, and certainly you've called him out on it. I've read many of your columns where you've, even during COVID, said, why isn't he allowing us to ask him questions? Why isn't he open enough to not just talk at us, but actually engage with us? And this has been a complaint, certainly I've seen you have, and many others as well. To some extent, he continued that approach with the Pala Pala incident, never gave any answers, never built confidence in anyone around him. So therefore, we actually can't know, we couldn't know what was what was really going on here.
I mean, it's a question of accountability, and that's something that I've been harping on, like you said, for many years now. It's just a question of simple accountability. These, we would have demanded this from any president, to say, come and answer for the decisions that you make. And so in this case, the president did everything in his power not to give a version of events, not to be held accountable. Eventually, when the ANC sort of, you know, he had, they had their foot on his neck, he then gave a version to the ANC. And then yesterday, only his version gets made public through the leaking of his submission to the panel. And the point is that the president has not taken the public in his confidence.
Not at
and
all.
And I think that, that, you know, for all of this time, for 6 months, the president actually was given the benefit of, of the doubt. Because there was always this thing that lingered in the back of our minds and the back of public perception that the accusations were made by someone who is not only, you know, dodgy, for the lack of a better word, but someone who has his own corruption scandal hanging over his head, Arthur Fraser. And so there was always this thing to say, you know, maybe there's an explanation. Maybe there's an explanation. Okay, yes, there was, you know, there was a thing, no way that this president would have stashed U.S. dollars in a couch. Then he confirms it to the public protector and confirms it to the ANC and obviously now to the panel. Okay, yes, that's what happened. But there was this effort to say, you know, we're unsure of these accusations made by Arthur Fraser. What is your version, Mr. President? What is your version? And he would just not simply not.
And it's so interesting because we inherently want to believe him versus an Arthur Fraser. We know who Arthur Fraser is. We know what he represents. We know his involvement in the Jacob Zuma corruption, or allegedly so. But therefore, it wouldn't have been that difficult if the president did give us these answers and did give interestingly enough, though, I keep thinking about this leaked document. Does that indicate as well that some of Ramaphosa's enemies are within this system? Because why else would this have been leaked? Who would have leaked
No, I think that was just a sort of a PR kind of damage control thing to just give us that information at the last minute. I don't think it was that sinister, but I do think that the president's main problem is that he did not take ANC leaders into his confidence. And so it's going to be very interesting to see who actually bats for him. The president has always, from June, when this matter surfaced, you know, offered his resignation. And so now it's the real test of that, because he's consistently said, if I'm found, you know, to have been on the wrong side of this, I will gladly step aside. And now that's the real test comes into play. It's a very important day for the president. He obviously cancelled his public appearance at the National Council of Provinces. He was supposed to answer questions. Didi Mabuza also not having any public engagement. They're going to be locked in meetings for most of the day, with the presidency saying that the president's now considering the report and his response there too. By 7 p.m., the ANC NEC is meeting. Obviously, there would have been, you know, a million other meetings.
I was just going to say, I'm sure, I feel like that meeting is almost the a formality, because I'm sure everything is going to be happening and has started already happening last evening.
Yeah, but it will be interesting to see whether there's an effort to rally behind the president. You also would remember that, and I mean, this is just in an ideal scenario, unlikely to happen. But for this report to be passed and for the impeachment process to begin, there needs to be a simple majority passing it. So the ANC can use its majority to say, we're not passing this report on the 6th of December, and then the case, and then the...
And then it goes away.
The Section 89 process falls away. Right. The reality of it is Ramaphosa has so many enemies
within
in the ANC. The ANC conference is so is looming, and so I don't think that they could risk getting to Tuesday, it's Tuesday the 6th, yeah, for to put that up for a test. So now the thing that says, the president said he would resign should there be any findings made against him. But there's also this argument that, you know, this panel's findings are not binding and are not implementable, regardless of that argument. Ramaphosa is significantly weaker, and I think that, you know, he has not ever in the past portrayed a character that says, you know, I will fight until the, you know, the dying day. He's always opted to remove himself from sticky situations, and has said as much in closed door meetings. And so it will be interesting now to see what his next move is going to be over the next 12 hours. But like I said, Howard, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a long day. We know what the Action SA have said, and Herman Mashaba will be on the show a little bit later. We know what John Steenhuisen, and I chatted to him offline this morning because he was going into a shadow cabinet meeting at 7 this morning. We know their reaction. Have we seen anything from the EFF?
Yeah, the EFF, you know, predictably, they've been very loud on this matter. They've come out and said, you know, the president has to vacate his office immediately. You remember Julius Malema called Ramaphosa a gangster who was involved in, you know, side hustles while he was president. And I mean, for me, that was like one of the most astounding findings of this report, to say the president, he may have violated the Constitution in that he put himself in a conflicting situation between his personal benefit and his official duties. And so that is going to be used to no end by his opponents. And like I said, it's the perfect storm for them.
Absolutely.
And more importantly, I think that what the Nobel panel did is confirm what Ramaphosa's opponents have been saying, after he was the one that came out to confirm that this money was a proceeds of business, to say this man is actually involved in business while he's running the state. And so it will be interesting to see now whether they opt to just, you know, take the more wait-and-see approach, wait for the ANC to do their thing and then act, or the EFF begins sort of their typical robust opposition style almost immediately.
Absolutely fascinating. That is where we leave it. Kenita Hunter, thank you for this conversation. And no doubt we'll be checking in with you to see as things develop. Kenita Hunter is the Assistant Editor, Politics and Opinion at News 24.